When you want an opportunity to hear from people all over the sports world, there's only one voice to trust to bring those stories to you. Here now with a special guest is Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop. Very happy to have on the line with me a very well-respected around the country, one of the most notable and respected referees in the United States of America, Mike Kitts, who's been on the show plenty of times, and I truly respect and appreciate his opinion and have asked him to come back on, and he's obliged me. So I thank him for that, and I look forward to talking with him now. And Mike, first and foremost, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And first and foremost, Mike, looking at the new rules, you know, you hear that conversation of the new NCAA rules, the ones that are instituted, people trying to figure out, you know, how do you define it? What does it mean? Are they clear? Differences of opinions and different things that have gone on circling around these new rules. What are the ones that stick out to you that have really been brought up the most recently?
The two in question, or the two that the NCAA's, is the hand checking one, which they don't want anybody hand checking a player with or without, with, especially with the ball. If it's 25 feet away from the basket or 5 feet away from the basket, if a player has his hand on the person and he starts to dribble with the ball, it's an automatic hand check. We're seeing as the season goes by is that the guards are adapting to it very well, 20, 25 feet away from the basket, keeping their hands off. The problem we're seeing is the big guys down below, when the ball gets dumped in below the foul line, a lot of times they're playing the post player with an arm bar in the back, which is legal when he doesn't have the ball. But once the ball is caught by the post player down below, he's got to take his hands off, his elbow off, and play defense just like if a guard is playing defense 25 feet away from the basket. I think the big guys are having more trouble with that play as the season went on.
With that specific rule, Mike, with having to, you know, tell someone inside so close to the basket that's defending that they have to, you know, essentially take all hands off and play it like a point guard when they're that close to the basket, what was the reasoning for the NCAA behind this rule that they wanted to change something like this and kind of make it a little bit more difficult for the defense when they're close to the basket?
I think the big change is they wanted to see more scoring. That's number one. I know that the problem is with the bigs down below is that they're getting the ball, and right away the first initial reaction by the defensive players put his hand on him, and they want us to call that foul. They want more scoring is the big thing, and they thought that over the years, I think a lot of referees were refereeing advantage-disadvantage. And my disadvantage to advantage compared to yours would be completely different on a certain play. And over the years, I think it's gotten too rough, and they wanted to pull it back a little bit. And they pulled it back at the point where there is more scoring. But, you know, it's a big adjustment for the players. I think the two big drastic changes between the hand checking and the block charge play, when the player starts his upward motion, you know, they want to, I'll use the example, the play last year in the Michigan Syracuse game when Trish went to the basket. That's the play they're showing us now, that Trish started his upward motion, and this year, because of the rule change, that it's a blocking foul, where last year we were calling that play an offensive foul. And they used that particular play in our training video, where this year that would be the play that we would call a block in that play, because Trish started his upward motion that should have been a basket.
So, Mike, looking at the block charge call, trying to figure out which one it is, you brought up Brandon Trish, and keeping with Syracuse, C.J. Fair recently in the game on the road against Duke, toward the end of the game, C.J. is going to the basket. He looks like he's straight up and doesn't look like, you know, he's leaning or falling onto the player. And so, you know, it looks, at least from my view, that CJ was just going to the basket and that it's not a charge. But when you see that type of play specifically, what did you take away from that play with CJ?
You know, that kind of play is, like I told, I had a similar play in a game I had this past weekend at Iowa. You know, the referee has to make a split-second decision based on, was he starting this upward motion? Was he there before the guy went up in the air? There's a lot of variables involved in that, refereeing that play. And, you know, that particular play is a hard play, and it's a split-second decision. You know, maybe if the referee had to do it all over again, maybe he has a no-call. And now the score is tied with 10.4 seconds left. Now, it's easy for me to say that now because it's after the fact. But maybe that's what they could have done. But we try to be consistent in that play, in the block charge plays. And, you know, if you have one at one end, you hope in the sequence of plays when we go to the other end, whether I made that call at the other end and I'm in a position to make the same call at the other end and be consistent, we hope that happens. That's the biggest drawback with the coaches, of us being inconsistent with the play calling. And, you know, sometimes that happens, and that's why the coaches get upset, because we're inconsistent with that play.
Come out to Pole Position Raceway, the premier indoor electric karting experience. Open 7 days a week, their quarter-mile-long European-style track, located on the third floor of Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York, is home to the fastest electric karts in North America, with speeds up to 45 miles per hour. Arrive and drive any day, Monday through Sunday. Pole Position Raceway is also available for group events. From kids' birthday parties to corporate events, they will provide an authentic, exhilarating, and safe racing experience your guests will never forget. For more information, visit polepositionraceway.com or stop in today on the third floor of Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York. Pole Position Raceway, built by racers for racers.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelanche, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Rack 'em up for the perfect sport to play in any weather. Salt City Billiards in North Syracuse, located on Brewerton Road, minutes from Interstate 81, has been the home of a dozen pool tables featuring some of your best shots and memories for years. Cue it up at Salt City Billiards any day of the week, where you can grab a drink, get something to eat, and dive into the pool no matter what the season. Salt City Billiards, minutes from Interstate 81 on Brewerton Road in North Syracuse.
When you look back on a game like that, there was that similar foul on Duke's side where it was called a blocking foul, basket goes in, an opportunity to go to the line. You had talked to me before about that consistency and being fluid and saying, you know, if you're going to call it on one side, in this example for Duke, then you have to call the same for Syracuse. When you saw a similar play happen there, you know, go into that and how, you know, that may be difficult with referees, or like you say, it's a split-second decision, but that there was that similarity, yet there were two totally different outcomes.
Yeah, you know, that's the part when I'm talking about being consistent or inconsistent. You know, we got the play at the one end where the official makes a block and foul, and all you hope is the coach at the other end, the referee makes the same call at the other end. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't, and I think in this case, in the Syracuse game, it didn't happen. And I think that was the main reason why Coach got upset, is that all he wanted was consistency, and you know, he remembered the play that happened 4 or 5 minutes ago, and he wanted the same play at the other end. So that was my take on it.
With two technicals that can come so quickly. In that case, Mike, I mean, you've obviously dealt with coaches around the country before, and what's too much when you see like a Jim Boeheim come out onto the court and question the call and get a little bit upset in that moment. It seemed like the ref had made up his mind very quickly, a double technical, and you're out. what kind of constitutes for you that double technical coming so quickly? I mean, is there a certain rule, or is it more just to your personal discretion? What's too much when a coach gets upset? Because obviously, coaches typically have one or two plays that they're going to be upset about during a game. What makes it too much, and is there a rule for that?
You know, there's no rule specifically for that, but, you know, you're in a situation, you know, is it easy for a particular referee to give one technical foul and turn away and walk away? You know, we can say that after the fact, that maybe he gives one and turns and walks away, and the coach fouls him, he throws himself out for getting the second one, you know. But sometimes you're in the heat of the moment, you're out there, and you got somebody in your face yelling at you. What they're saying, I have no idea. But you got somebody in somebody's face. He's out of the coaching box. He's out by the 3-point line. And sometimes you react to how somebody's treating you, and you do what you think is what should be done at that particular moment. It's easy for me to say after the fact that the particular referee could have turned and walked away and let somebody else tech up, give him the second technical foul. That's easy to say now. But sometimes in the heat of the moment, It's a difficult thing to do if you have never refereed before. It's hard.
Have you ever been put in a situation where you've given the double technical so quickly and you know, instead of walking away and letting somebody else come in, that you're just like, you know what? No, this is too much. I mean, like you said, it's kind of to your discretion as a ref, you know, what is too much? Do you have a line that, like, once it was crossed, you were said, okay, you know, this is enough for me, or are you typically more to do the one and walk away?
You know, it's a hard thing to do, depending on what was said to you. That's the big thing, because sometimes something's said to you and your antennas go up and you turn around and say, what did you just say? And again, I don't know what was said or, you know, what happened on that particular play, but, you know, I mean, I've been involved in situations where I've teched a coach up and I just walk away with my back to him, you know, because I don't want to get in a confrontation, but I've been around a while, so, I mean, maybe in my younger days I wouldn't have done that, but I can't put myself in that referee's shoes and say, you should have done this or you should have done that. He's doing what he thought was right at that particular moment.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreisig Apparel, the best place for you to go when it comes to finding your image, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. At dreisigapparel.com, that's DREISSIG apparel.com, you have the opportunity to not only outfit your team well, but also to outfit your business, outfit your event, outfit your breast cancer walk. When it comes to looking good and feeling comfortable in your own skin, the only place to go is Dreisig Apparel. DREISSIG apparel.com. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at DreisigApparel.com. That's DREISSIG apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal. What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, found on fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. I can take that and enhance that for you, make it even better, even stronger than it's been before. Be the loudest fan without ever having to lose your voice by choosing one of 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, and all you have to do is clap your hands, something you've done every single game since you were a kid. Fanhands.com, get your favorite pair of fan hands right now. Find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. Fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. Real fans wear fan hands.
In certain situations, depending on where a game is being played, you know, obviously there's going to be guys that are going to question, you know, the calls that a ref makes. And in certain games, it seems like, you know, a referee will make a call, will hear something from the home coach, and then flip that call without you really talking with any other rep. Have you ever worked with someone or had that type of issue where the home court coach seems to get the advantage at certain points? And I'm not just talking about any game specifically, but have you been in that scenario where sometimes when the coach at home wants to discuss it, he gets the advantage? I mean, have you worked with people or been in a situation where you feel that's happened at times?
I don't know. It's somebody's perception of what they think happens at a particular venue, whether it's at the Dome or Cameron or Madison Square Garden. You know, it's just you hope, like I've always said in the show before, that your main job is to go out and create a level playing field, or a level playing court for both teams. You're not worried about who's the home team, who's the visiting team, and you just try to do what's right for the game. Get the plays right, and there's so many plays involved in all these games, and so many decisions to be made that, you know, when you make a call, 50% of the people are going to be happy because it's for them. The other 50% are going to be upset because it's against them. So you just hope to create a level playing field for both teams and get both teams a chance to win, whether they're the home team or the visiting team. And that's the way I've always looked at it. So
when you're in these situations where there's all these new rules being instituted, you've been around for a long time, Mike, and you've been a part of so many big games around the country, in the tournament, in the regular season. Does it get difficult for you, even if you've been around for a while, to keep all these rules straight? Because, I mean, this is a fast-paced game when it comes to the sport of basketball. Is it difficult for you to really have to see everything on the court and then have to add all these rules in at this point in anybody's career, even if you're a first year? Is it difficult to kind of take on these new rules now?
It's funny you ask that, because I'm in Chicago with my son, and he's refereeing a little bit, and we were talking about rules last night. And a lot of times when you start refereeing when you're younger, when you screw up a rule, that's how you more or less learn it, because you never let it happen again. But at the level I'm refereeing now, it behooves me. I might not use a rule for 20 games. And all of a sudden, a play comes into a game where I have to decide what I'm going to do with the ball or what I'm going to do with a personal foul. And you got to know the rules. I told my son last night, you must know the rules, because when you're put in a situation to use the rules, you got to know what the rule is. And, you know, I'm always sitting around the hotel room, reading through the rule book, looking at the rules, just so I know when these things come up that I'm going to do it right and apply the rule the right way.
With the block charge rule, you know, seeing that and where a guy's set and in different things that are going on, would you consider the block charge to be one of the most difficult calls that you have to make? I mean, because it seems like it's, you know, it's a split-second difference that you can't look away, you can't look down, you got to be right there. Would you consider that the toughest or one of the toughest calls to have to make in a game?
Yeah, you know, because what's happening, if people can realize, all these years I've been reffing this play for 30-some years. I referee the defense. There's a defense in a legal guarding position facing the offensive player with 2 feet on the floor. I didn't have to worry about where the offensive player was, because all I had to worry was about the defense. Now, if you can think of what they're trying to tell us right now, they want me to leave the defensive player. So is he in a legal guarding position with 2 feet on the floor and face him? I hope so. Now they want me to leave that play and look out to the offensive player and see if he started his upward motion yet. I'm saying that's impossible to referee that play the way they're trying to tell us. I'm supposed to look out there, okay, he started his upward motion. Then I got to look back at the defensive play to see if he's in legal guarding position. I mean, if you've never refereed a game or never trying to figure out what they're trying to say to us, it's very difficult to referee that play with what's going on right now. Very difficult.
When it is that type of situation, like you said, you're being asked to focus on the offensive player, take your focus off the defensive player, what are you looking for from the offensive player? I mean, are you looking for them to be straight up in their motion? Are you looking for an elbow? Are you looking for a lean? I mean, it seems like in the past an offensive foul was easier to call. When you have to focus on the offensive player now, what are you really trying to hone in on with this kind of, like you said, difficult view of the play?
You know, what I'm trying to, what I've done, me personally, my pitch, nobody else, is that I more or less went back to the way I used to referee that play, based on the defense, you know, and it's easier for me to referee that play that way. Okay, can they send me a clip after the game and say, geez, Mike, I thought this guy started his upward motion before the guy was set. I say, okay, I missed that one. But I felt in the last month going back to the way I used to referee that play, I feel like I'm getting it right most of the time, and being consistent most of the time is a big thing.
When you're late in games, you had talked about it before on the show, Mike, that you said that the best thing a ref can do is leave a game and nobody knows the name of the referee because you know, you did your job and you let the players play. When you're late in a game situation like the Syracuse-Duke one, where, you know, that's a tough call to make, As you personally, would you rather see the game just go and let the players play if it's going to be a questionable call like that? Do you call it? I mean, if it's a blatant foul, you know, obviously you got to call it. But if it's a situation like that, would you rather be? Would you say you're on the side of being a ref that would just let the play kind of go if you're not 100% sure?
You know, I can say yeah, because it's easy right now after seeing that play. But the other part of it is that the referee in that particular play was making an instinctive reaction to something he thought he saw. Whether he thought the guy, defensive player was there in the legal guarding position before he started his upward motion, that's what he thought he saw when he made that particular call at that instant in the game. It's easy for me, could he let it go and have no call, and the ball goes in, the score's tied, and we move on and figure out, yeah, that's the easy way to do it, and that's what everyone wants. You know, all circus fans would want. But, you know, he made a split-second decision based on the guy being where he's supposed to be, whether he was or wasn't, I don't know. Did the guy start his upper motion? I don't know. He made a split-second decision based on what he thought he saw.
And you being a referee, obviously, you know, respect is important to you, and I don't envy the fact that it's one of the most difficult jobs that any human being would ever have to do, and the things that you hear and the environments you go into. You've known referee Green for a long time, and what can you say about, you know, your relationship with him and what you've taken away from him, because you've worked with so many different people. So, you know, what can you say about, you know, your experiences with him?
He's a high quality human being. I mean, just a good guy, takes this very, very serious. He's done numerous Final Fours, got a lot of respect around the country, and he's a very, very well-respected official among his peers.
Come out to Pole Position Raceway, the premier indoor electric karting experience. Open 7 days a week, their quarter-mile-long European-style track, located on the third floor of Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York, is home to the fastest electric karts in North America, with speeds up to 45 miles per hour. Arrive and drive any day, Monday through Sunday. Pole Position Raceway is also available for group events. From kids' birthday parties to corporate events, they will provide an authentic, exhilarating, and safe racing experience your guests will never forget. For more information, visit polepositionraceway.com or stop in today on the third floor of Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York. Pole Position Raceway, built by racers for racers.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Rack 'em up for the perfect sport to play in any weather. Salt City Billiards in North Syracuse, located on Brewerton Road, minutes from Interstate 81, has been the home of a dozen pool tables featuring some of your best shots and memories for years. Cue it up at Salt City Billiards any day of the week, where you can grab a drink, get something to eat, and dive into the pool no matter what the season. Salt City Billiards, minutes from Interstate 81 on Brewerton Road in North Syracuse.
This job for you, I know you've done it for such a long time, Mike. How do you handle being in a situation like Green was, like people have been all throughout this season, last season, whenever it may be, when you're in such a volatile situation where, you know, it is that play, you know, you've been a part of those plays before, just like Green has and just like other refs have been around the country. When you're a part of such a controversial call and a play like that, how do you kind of handle everything after the fact in those types of situations?
To be honest with you, I hope there's another game where they screw up, where they take the heat off of me a little bit. You know, because, you know, you keep seeing... This play happened on Saturday. Now it's what, Monday, and we're still seeing the same thing. You know, the play over and over and over again. So you had it all day Sunday, all day today, and you kind of hope it kind of goes away, because you know you're in a situation where you just want to do the job and nobody know who to referee. But because of this high profile game and a call in the game near the end of the game, it just doesn't seem like it goes away.
And it's interesting that you say something like that, that, you know, you hope there's another one that comes after it. But, you know, once those things happen, once those controversial calls happen, and let's say you turn on the television and your call is on for 3 days in a row for 5 hours a day or whatever it may be, and they're talking about it on the radio and whatnot, how do you go into the next game? I mean, does it kind of, you know, that, you know, like, okay, let's use this as an example. The block charge call. Does Green go into another game, you know, and if you were in Green's place in the past, you know, are you like, oh, my God, you know, I'm nervous to call this specific call? I mean, how do you kind of bounce back from that, and is it difficult for you to call that same type of foul in the next game because you've kind of seen yourself on television for 3 days straight?
No, you just kind of go with it. Refereeing is a lot of instinctive reactions to the plays, and we see plays night in and night out, and he won't referee that play any different than he's always refereed. You know, he's going to see something with the defense, see something with the offense, and ref the play. But, you know, you get to the next game, and the ball goes up, and you're ready to do the next game. And, you know, I'm sure as he walks into the next building, people will comment this. Everybody knows who he is by now because of that particular play. But, no, he'll be able to get to the next game and do what's right for the game, and he'll be fine.
I got to ask you, Mike, when you've had a play and it's happened and it's been so controversial or questionable, have you gone back to the hotel and when it's on television in slow motion? I mean, have you gone back and watched it and tried to critique, you know, yourself, or do you kind of just move on?
No, you know, we all carry iPads now. I guarantee you he was in the locker room after the game watching that play in the locker room. You know, there's certain plays as you go along. I carry my iPad. When we get to the games, we just give it to the replay guy. And when we get done with the game, he's got my iPad in the locker room 5 minutes after the game. So I can look at the play 8 minutes after a game when I'm in the locker room to see, you know, how I thought the play was refereed. What if Tony did that? I can't honestly tell you, but I know there's certain plays in games that I like to look at after games to see, was I right or was I wrong? Was it a 50-50? And, you know, I just like to look at the play. It makes me better for the next time, you know, seeing those kind of plays. And hopefully you don't, you know, miss a lot of them. So that's how I do it.
Mike, how do you, when you're playing, when the game's going so fast, and you got to make that call, what kind of decides it for you? I mean, you know, and I think I keep going back to the block charge because it seems like that's the one that can be 50-50 so much at times. When you see something like that and you see that call and it's instinctive, and like you said, you got to make a quick reaction, what kind of makes you go over the edge with it? I mean, are you one of those refs where it's like, it's got to be blatant to me, and if I think it's half and half, I'm not going to call it? I mean, how do you kind of go into something like that, which I think is one of the most difficult calls that you have to make?
Yeah, I mean, I try to put myself in Tony Green's position. You know, what would I call in a play? You know, I don't know. Until it actually happens, I really couldn't tell you what I would have called in that play. You know, and I'm not in his shoes at that moment, and it's just a hard play that's drawn a lot of attention. And that's just the nature of the beast when you're refereeing, especially a caliber game like that was the other night.
So as we move forward, Mike, lastly here before I let you go, I mean, you've done this for so long, And you know, I know you're heavily involved in the MAC. I know you've been used by big conferences all across the country. What's your docket like now? I mean, what's your schedule like? Are you still doing, you know, SEC, Big 12? I mean, are you still all over the place? I mean, what has this season entailed for you so far?
You know, I'm not doing any of the Metro Atlantic Conference, which I'm taking over because I thought that'd be a conflict of interest. So, you know, I'm not doing that league, but I am taking calls from coaches and dealing with coaches in that league. I did start assigning a Division III league this year, the Empire 8, which is, you know, a couple schools in Rochester, a couple in Buffalo. You know, you got Hartwick and Utica and Elmira. So that league really went well this year. And looking forward to finish this season up. I did a lot of games in the Big Ten, the SEC. And it's been fun. You know, I got probably I got to work Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Saturday, Sunday. I probably got about 7 games left, which is, you know, I'm going to do the Big Ten tournament at the end of the year, which would be in Indianapolis. I'm looking forward to that, and then the NCAA tournament. So, you know, there's a few games left, and it's time for me to move on. And I've had enough, and it's been a good run for me.
I know we talked about this a year ago, that this season may be it for you as far as, you know, I know you said you're going to be doing supervising and all that, but outside of that the whole traveling and doing different conferences and the NCAA tournament, that it may be time to finish up. What kind of determined for you that you were going to be done traveling around the country with all the different conferences at this point in your career?
You know, there's a lot of good young officials out there. They deserve a chance. I've had my day in the sun, and you know, I want to be one of those officials where, you know, I'm going out on my own terms. I'm not being forced out. I feel like I'm still a referee. I don't run as well as I used to run, but I'm going out on my own terms, and I just don't want to go out where people say, "Geez, you should have retired 2 years ago." You know, I can go out this year and do a high-quality games I've still been doing this year. I'll be very satisfied with what I've done in refereeing.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreisig Apparel, the best place for you to go when it comes to finding your image, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. At dreisigapparel.com, that's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com, you have the opportunity to not only outfit your team well, but also to outfit your business, outfit your event, outfit your breast cancer walk. When it comes to looking good and feeling comfortable in your own skin, the only place to go is Dreisig Apparel. DREISSIG apparel.com. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at DreisigApparel.com. That's DREISSIG apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal. What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, found on fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. I can take that and enhance that for you. Make it even better, even stronger than it's been before. Be the loudest fan without ever having to lose your voice by choosing one of 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, and all you have to do is clap your hands, something you've done every single game since you were a kid. Fanhands.com, get your favorite pair of fan hands right now. Find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. Fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. Real fans wear fan hands.
Your final NCAA tournament. After doing four Final Fours and everything that you've been involved in, what does this kind of mean to you, being your final NCAA tournament? I mean, is this going to hold a special meaning that once it's over, that's going to be it for you?
You know, it's going to be really difficult for my last game. You know, I don't know what that last game's going to be right now. You know, if I don't, you know, do the NCAA tournament or get a call, you know, the Big Ten Championship might be my last game, which would be, you know, a great honor. But it's going to be a difficult time for me at my last game. Because, I mean, I started this at 24 years old, and I'll be 64 March 10th. So 40 years I've been doing this. So it's going to be a hard thing to let go, but it's time for me to let it go.
And lastly, why do it with the Big Ten? I mean, to have their tournament potentially be the end for you, or definitely be the last conference tournament that you're going to do as a ref before you do strictly supervising, why the Big Ten?
You know, they were there. I had options years ago, with the Big East, and things didn't work out for Mike Pitts in the Big East after 26 years. And it was disappointing for me, but things happened for a reason. The Big Ten called me and said, "Mike, will you take us number one? We'll make sure we give you enough games." And it's been a nice relationship for 4 years since I've been gone from the Big East. That it couldn't have happened any better than how it turned out with the Big Ten.
Do you still miss the Big East at all, or is that behind you now?
It's behind me. You know, that was a part of my life that, you know, went on for 26 years. And it was a nice run there, and it was a decision that I made, and life went on, and it's worked out for both of us.
Well, Mike, as always, I love having you on the show. I definitely appreciate and respect your opinion, and I can't thank you enough for having you on. So, you know, I know the two words "thank you" aren't going to suffice to me on my end, but thank you, and I do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Dan. Good luck, okay?
I want to thank once again Mike Kitts for coming on here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, truly where sports meets life. Mike Kitts, a longtime NCAA referee and currently the supervisor of officials for the Empire 8 Conference in NCAA Division III basketball and the assistant supervisor of officials in the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, better known as the MAAC, M-A-A-C, in NCAA Division I basketball. I truly cannot thank Mike Kitts enough for being a part of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora here on WakeUpCallDT.com and all the other ways to listen to the show, including the free app on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, Sports DT. That's SportsDT. Thank you so much to Mike Kitts. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at CallDT. That's CallDT. And on Facebook, facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT. All one word, Wake Up Call. D as in Dan, T as in Thomas. Truly appreciate you listening in. Love getting the perspective from the referee, because so many fans and media and players and coaches see what they see, but it's always good, I think, I know it's always good to get the visual from a referee, and Mike Kitts has been my go-to guy because of the way he handles himself, his knowledge, his expertise, and his experience with refereeing basketball. Done it since he was 24, and now 40 years later, still a part of basketball as a referee. Truly something remarkable, and God bless him for it. as much as people beat up on referees, and I think it's easy for fans to either cheer or boo and let the refs know exactly how you feel, I think out of every single fan that's ever gotten upset at a referee, a 20th or a 30th or a 40th, you know, such a small decimal number of the fans that get upset on a play, I think would actually have the guts and frankly the balls to go out there and to be a referee and know that you're one of the few people that you can count on less than one hand that are going to be scrutinized for the entire game. And, you know, I mean, yes, refs make bad calls and refs make good calls, but I think we forget sometimes that refs are human beings as well. And I think very, very, very few people that are challenging refs would actually want to go out there and be scrutinized and yelled at and talked to the way that they are. I think if you take a fan and make them a ref, you would find a very small amount of people would be out there doing it. And Mike Kitts has done it for so long, and much to his credit, to take the abuse and at the same time take the cheers and take everything that comes with his job. And you got to love it to do it. And this is something that Mike has been able to do, and I commend him for that and truly respect him for that. I would also like to give a special thanks to Carvel DeWitt. You heard from them during the show. Located on 4322 East Genesee Street, right at the end of Erie Boulevard in DeWitt, minutes from Syracuse University. Please head over there, try them out. If you've never been to Carvel, seriously, I mean, what's going on? If someone says to you, have you ever had a piece of ice cream cake, and you say no, or you say yes, but not Carvel, you're missing out. Carvel is the ice cream cake. They are the home when it comes to anniversaries, parties, whatever's going on, holidays, special moments, weddings. When it comes to showing a loved one how much you care and you want to do something special, something simple, something nice for them, head over to Carvel DeWitt on 4322 East Genesee Street. For this Valentine's Day, my fiance, she's always loved Hello Kitty, and so I gave her a very special Carvel cake that has her favorite character on there. So, you know, you never lose the child at heart. Some people like Cookie Puss and all the Fudgy the Whale, things that have been around with Carvel for so long, and then you can make your own individual like I did for my fiance. So it could be anything that you're thinking of off the top of your head. Carvel DeWitt will try and do their best for you to make that come alive. I've never left Carvel DeWitt with a cake that I wasn't happy with a sundae that I didn't like, and I want to thank Jay Cartini and his staff for doing that. They're what makes it possible. The Carvel product is great, but Carvel DeWitt goes one step further and makes things even better by the way that they treat you and how they do what they do, how they create everything they do. Fresh, handmade daily are the ice cream cakes. Make sure you head out to Carvel DeWitt. I also want to give a special thanks to Dreisig Apparel, who helps me look good whenever I go out to a game or do an interview. Whenever I'm out there in the professional world, Dreisig Apparel outfits me well, helps me to look good and feel good and be comfortable in the clothing that I'm wearing by providing the polo shirts that I have for Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, as well as helping me to feel comfortable when I'm relaxing, going out and doing a fan event, or giving something away with the Wake Up Call with Dan Satora t-shirts and hats. And I'm happy to be featuring for the Syracuse fan base the Wake Up Call with Dan Satora for the first time ever orange and blue t-shirts that you'll be able to get at upcoming events. So make sure you get prepared for those and get yourself one of those that you can go and wear at a game, not only at the Carrier Dome, but on the road and in the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament. So make sure that you get out to our events. Stay tuned to wakeupcalldt.com as well as facebook.com/wakeupcalldt. And Twitter at CallDT, that's CallDT, to find out when those events are happening and how you can get yourself an orange and blue special Wake Up Call with Dan Satora t-shirt in support of the Syracuse Orange fan base. So make sure you get to that. And, of course, the original white and the original hot pink that we have to give away that we've had for years, thanks to Dreisig Apparel. Let them outfit your event, your business. your team, whatever it may be, Dry Sig Apparel, head there. It's drysigapparel.com. That's DREISSIG apparel.com. All one word. Check them out. I've used them for years. I've trusted in them to represent my business, something that I care about so very much. They can help you to represent what you care about so much by going to drysigapparel.com. I also want to thank drysiglady.com, DREISSIG lady.com. That commercial will be coming up very soon. Make sure you look out for the unveiling of the drysiglady.com commercial exclusively first right here on Wake Up Call DT.com. And it's basically just in addition to Dry Sig Apparel, this is the lady line, the bamboo line that helps you have comfortable, relaxing clothing, and the athletic line when you're out there working out, going for a jog, taking care of the kids, whatever it may be for the businesswoman, the stay-at-home mom, the student, the teacher, whoever you are. When you're a female and you want to feel good in the clothing, and let's face it, every woman wants to feel good in the clothes she's wearing, wants to feel confident in the clothes she's wearing, and wants her clothes to be able to move with her. Without her having to go home and change and go through all these wardrobes, she wants to be able to wake up in the morning, put the clothes on, go throughout her day, and enjoy her day and feel comfortable as your day gets busy, because any woman is a working woman, and I respect you all. Head to drysiglady.com, and I'm telling you right now, you will not be disappointed with their brand, with their company, and what they offer you, all the women out there that I respect. Drysiglady.com, that's DREISSIG lady.com. And keeping with the internet, fanhands.com. You heard from them. The ultimate sports fan accessory are fan hands. You heard me clapping at the beginning of the commercial. Fan hands enhance your clap. When you're on the road at an event, let's say you're going out and you're seeing your team on the road, and there's 100 of you, and there's 10,000 of the home team. When there's 100 people with fan hands on, all of a sudden 100 people sounds like over 1,000 and continues to go exponentially with the more people that you have. So when it comes to wanting to be loud on the road, at home, in the tournament, wherever you may be, outdoors, indoors, fanhands.com will outfit you by slipping on a pair of fan hands. That's all you need. You never have to lose your voice again screaming. You clap like every single person does. The universal language of a fan is clapping your hands. Do it with fanhands.com, and your team will not be disappointed knowing that you're supporting them wherever they go. I also want to give a special thanks to Pole Position Raceway in Syracuse on the third floor of Destiny USA. If you haven't been there, you have to go out and check out Pole Position Raceway. When I say check out, I'm not saying just watch the racers go by. I'm saying get in one of your cars and make it happen. It goes up to 45 miles an hour. You can go as fast as you want to, as slow as you want to. I'll admit, when I started out, had to slow it down a little bit, had to get to know the track a little bit. But this, if you've ever been to Walt Disney World and you've been on test track, this is what it reminds me of. Except for, nobody's running the ride for you. You are the ride. You're in control. It's so much fun. I'm looking at the opportunity of having my groomsmen go over there, because you can have up to 10 people on the track, and I have 7 groomsmen for my upcoming wedding. I'm looking to take them all out and have the 8 of us go on the track, race around together. You could take a bachelorette party. You could take your business. If you just hired a bunch of interns, or you hired a bunch of workers and you want to have a team building exercise, or if you have a kids party, or if there's a snow day, and you had Bobby stay over with your son Tim, and Bobby and Tim are looking for something to do, take them over to Pole Position Raceway. Or if you have the girls all together for a party, and you have your little 7-year-old, and Stacy has 7 of her friends, and she wants to do something different, Mommy, well, guess what? Take her over to Pole Position Raceway. Get Stacy and her friends in the car. They'll have a great time. It's truly different. It's exhilarating. It really is so much fun, because it brings out the kid and the adult. And obviously the kid gets to be a kid and live out a dream of theirs, maybe. Or maybe they never thought about getting out on a track, and this is something that's their first time to do it. But I'll tell you, after you do it a first time, you want to get back in the car and do it again. I can't thank Pole Position Raceway enough for getting me in the car for the first time and helping me to really get what they're doing and get the whole experience. Because like I've told you before, I will never promote a product or a service that I don't use myself or don't believe in. I definitely think Pole Position Raceway, after sitting in the car and going around the track, once you do it, you want to do it again. It's not a one-time deal. You want to go back. You're going to be that repeat customer because it's just a lot of fun. And to be completely honest, there's nothing else like it, so you can't simulate it anywhere else. You get to be the driver. Doesn't matter how old you are. So there you go, parents. Take your kids out. If they're going to be going for their licenses soon or their permits, put them on the track. Get them to feel it out a little bit. That way, if they bang into the side a little bit, you could say, hey, you know what? It's on this track. It's safe. We weren't on the streets of New York. We're right here, safe indoors. So it really is a ton of fun for anyone of any age, and you'll definitely want to head back again after you do it a first time. And finally, I want to give a special thanks to Salt City Billiards that gave me the opportunity to rekindle one of my passions that I had as a kid that my dad helped me to really build, and that was shooting pool. Just being able to go out. I mean, think about it. How many sports can you go out, get yourself a drink, have some food, have good conversation, and still be playing the sport? You can't eat a cheeseburger while you're on the court with basketball. You can't get a salad when you're playing football on the field. But when it comes to shooting pool, you can get food, have that conversation, grab a drink, and just really, you know, you can rekindle friendships, make new friends, come out with the family, have a family reunion, bring your son out. And that's something that I really appreciate is when a father or a mother brings their child out to just spend some time together, quality time, where you can actually talk to each other. I mean, this is not something like where you're sitting and you have to be silent. You're not in any of those areas. You're shooting pool. So there's that conversation that you can have where your attention is obviously playing the game, but you can also keep in touch with those that you care about. And I appreciate one of the dads I got to meet that brought his son out, and he said, you know, Dan, there's really not a lot for me to do with my son. There's not a lot of places that we can go. He's younger. So where do I take him? And he decided to go to Salt City Billiards. He met me. We started talking, and he said, you know, because of you, we're going to come back here. And they have. They've come back for weeks, and they've spent that quality time together. And that means the world to me that my dad brought me out to play pool when I was a kid, and now someone else's father is bringing him out to play pool, and that I've gotten to meet that family, very nice family, that now they are going to have these memories, and I just feel very special. You know, I feel a part of that. And Salt City Billiards allows you to have that. They allow you to build those memories, and they're constantly upgrading and changing things for the better. So that's a great part of it, is that when I met this father and son, this is when Salt City Billiards had looked the way that it had for years, and then they keep coming back. All of a sudden, there's more things going on. There's changes. There's additions. Everything that you're seeing at Salt City Billiards is upgrading it even more so. So you think about going there, shooting pool, having a good time, and now you get to enjoy even more and have even better experience of being at Salt City Billiards. And you can find Salt City Billiards right on Brewerton Road. It's 3707 Brewerton Road, right by the airport, right when you get off 81, minutes from 81 as well as Northern Lights. You'll find it on 3707 Brewerton Road, Salt City Billiards. Truly a place where you can rack them up and have a great time. Thank you so much to everyone that's been a part of my family, everyone that has believed in Dan Satora Broadcast Media, not only my partners, but with you as well, my family, my friends, my listeners who have become friends, many of you. Thank you so much for all of the love, all of the support, and believing in me and coming to me for these stories. I can't thank you enough for being a part of my history, my life, most importantly, my passion, what I love doing. I never work a day in my life. That's the beauty of it. And I thank God for that every single day above all things. So take care of yourselves. Be well. Make sure you download the app onto your smartphone. It's on the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. SportsDT. That's SportsDT. You can also find me on Facebook once again, facebook.com/wakeupcallDT. On YouTube, youtube.com/wakeupcallDT. And on Twitter, @CallDT. That's CallDT. So plenty of ways to get involved. Make sure you have them all ready to go so that when the information comes out, you'll be the first one to it. And thank you so much for caring about what I do. I appreciate it, and I care about you all. God bless you. Be well, and we'll talk very soon here on WakeUpCallDT.com, where sports truly meets life.